Well, I have some good news for us this morning and some bad news. And I'm going to concentrate on the good news because for the righteous, it far outweighs the bad news. That news is Zion is coming, and it's near at hand. I want to talk just briefly about the year 2000. Y2K, as they call it. You know, that's just 14 months away. And because of what is called the millennium bug in the computers, we are told that there will be some problems when at January 1st, the year 2000 at 12 a.m. But we're told that most of the computers are Y2K compliant, meaning they can handle that problem. But there are those out there who are saying that there's a little bit more to it than that. They said because all of the computers are interlocked in a grid, all the main computers are connected one to another, that for those who are not compliant crash, that it will carry all the rest of them with it. Now, we know that the computer controls most aspects of our life, and if all of them stop working, just consider what might happen. The banks wouldn't know what to do about the money. They would have to close down. The power plants, transportation would stop because everything there depends on the computer. That means goods, services, and food would not be able to move from one place to another. Life could, if these predictions are true, change very drastically within 14 months. It might not be a bad idea, as many are saying, to make some preparations. You know, God told Joseph of old that during the 7 years of plenty, he should save up food to have it for 7 years of famine. I don't know if this is something that we should be considering or not, but that's not my main point here. There's another aspect of the year 2000. You know, the creation took place 4000 B.C., or thereabouts. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he took 6 days to do this. And on the seventh day, he rested. Now that's why that we have Sunday, the Sabbath, as a day of rest. A day when we should rest from our labors. We should not work. We should not play. But that we should rest and worship God. I want to read a passage in 2 Peter verse 3 and chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." I may not be taking the meaning of that correctly, but I just considered that if a day is as 1,000 years, and creation took place on 4,000 B.C., and here it's coming up the year 2000, That makes 6 years or 6 days of 1,000 years. And the seventh year, the seventh day was to be a day of rest, the seventh year is shortly coming upon us. Now that's been called the millennial reign. The reign of Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. It's the time when we believe that Zion will be a reality. You know, we've talked about Zion, we've prayed about it, we've wished for it. Well, what will it be like there? Why would we even want it? Let's do a little mental exercise right now. Let's think in our mind's eye of the most beautiful place you've ever seen. Can you think of that? The most beautiful place you've ever seen. Okay? Now, again in your mind's eye, think of a time when you had the most fun. Or maybe I shouldn't say fun, maybe I should say joy, because there's a difference. The most joy. When was the time that you experienced the most joy in your life? And think of that for a minute. You know, no matter how beautiful, how joyous, Zion will be better. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We cannot imagine. Maybe that speaks of heaven. I think it also is an indication of Zion. There are some descriptions that are given in the scriptures telling us what it will be like there. I want to start and read a few of those. There's a lot here, but I want to read a few of them. I want to start with Isaiah 11. And there in verses 6 through 10, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. They will not hurt nor destroy anywhere upon this holy mountain. And his rest will be glorious. And it says the root of Jesse. That's Christ. Christ will be there. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 and verses 18 through 25 says, "But be ye glad and rejoice ever in that which I create, for behold, I will create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Weeping, crying, and sorrow will be done away. It will not be there. It will be joy continually. Verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." There's going to be work there, isn't there? "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hand." A long life. There will be work there. Trials will be over. There will not be labor in vain. It says in 23, "There shall not be labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble." How many times have you started working on something and you get partly done or completely done, and what you've done just hasn't accomplished anything? That's working in vain. Sometimes what we do even brings forth more trouble. That won't happen there. Okay? "For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord." You know, I think also the food, the work that is done there, we'll plant, we'll eat of that. The food will be much better than anything we have now. I like to raise a garden, and I know that many times the things that come out of that garden are much better tasting than I get when I get them out of the store. But they won't compare to the good taste of those things that are growing in Zion. Let's see. Micah, the fourth chapter, gives some more. I'm only touching on a few of the things here. There's so much in here that I couldn't begin to cover it all in the short time that I have here. But I want to point out a few things here. In Micah, the fourth chapter, and verses 1 through 5. It says, "But in those days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains." Well, a temple will be built, the house of the Lord. And by the way, we know where that's going to be built, don't we? Not too many miles from here, right on the temple lot. The top of the mountains. "And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob." By the way, mountain in prophecy means government. It'll be God's government, the seat of God's government. "Let us go up to the house, or the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. There will be teaching there. People will have much to learn, won't they? They will have to learn of the things that they have been doing wrong and have to learn righteousness and truth and things that will cause us to have joy and peace. It says, "For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares." And they're going to need plowshares, because there's going to be work there. "And their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his fig tree, or under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." And I do hope, you like to sing. One such scripture can be found about singing in Psalms 126. It says, 126, it says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." Let's go to Ezekiel, 34th chapter, and see what Ezekiel said about, was given about this time that, of Zion. Ezekiel 34 and verses 22 through 31. "Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David." Now David here means Christ. Christ will be there. "He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant, David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." Just go anywhere. Won't have to worry about your kids either. They can go, roam around, whatever. There'll be no danger there from the beasts or from other people. You know, it's almost more, some of the people out there are almost more dangerous than the beasts now, I think. And verse 26, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill," the hill of Zion, "a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in his season," which probably refers to rain. But then it says, "There shall be showers of blessings." Showers of blessings. We sing about that from time to time, don't we? "And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit." There won't be any frost, late frost, to kill off the fruit and make them not bear, as there is oftentimes here. "And the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, and when I have broken the bands of their yoke," "I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them." Those that serve themselves of us. Those who are using us for their gain. And that's what's happening in this day. says, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. I think another reference to Christ. And they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. So there'll be no hunger, no fear. Let me read this one out of the Book of Mormon. 3 Nephi, page 647. And I want to read 43 through 45 here. And when the words of the prophet Isaiah shall be fulfilled, which say, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. There'll be unity there. Everybody will agree. Everybody will know the truth. They will be taught until they do. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. So there will be fulfillment there. You know, we'll feel love from everybody, and we'll give love to everybody. You know, we hunger for that at times. There'll be no class distinction, no rich, no poor. Everybody there will do their part to make it perfect. You know, we can speculate a little bit. We sing about pearly gates and streets of gold. And we know it's going to be beautiful there. Maybe there will be golden streets. Maybe there will be pearly gates. Maybe there'll be something better. You know, maybe we won't have to, maybe we'll be transported from one place to another by the Spirit and not need automobiles and buses and trains and planes. That's speculation. I want to read in Joel 3. Where it's in verses 16 through 18 here of Joel 3, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. There will be abundance there, won't there? And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land, those lands will no longer be inhabited even. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, and for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. And while I'm here, I might as well look back at this verse 32 on Joel, in chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. There will be deliverance there. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. By the way, you notice sometimes it says Jerusalem, sometimes it says Zion. Zion is a new Jerusalem, but the Jerusalem of old will also be a center for the people of God. So there will be two places, Zion and Jerusalem. And by the way, it does say there, it says a remnant whom the Lord shall call. A remnant means a part. Not everybody will be called. Not everybody. I'll read in the Book of Commandments on page 87 where it says, this is chapter 48, verses 59 through 67. I'm going to start last couple lines of 59. It says, the New Jerusalem. That's Zion. A land of peace. A city of refuge. Why should we have to have a city of refuge? A place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. Well, why? Why need that refuge? Why do we need safety? Verse 60, and the glory of the Lord shall be there. And the terror of the Lord shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it. They'll be fearful to come there. And it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take his sword against his neighbor must needs flee to Zion for safety. We're going to need that safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven. Not just the United States. Not just the United States and Mexico. But every nation. And it shall be the only people that are not at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion. For the inhabitants of Zion are terrible. You want to be there and be called terrible? Wherefore we cannot stand. The wicked will not be able to stand there. They will be sent out. Only the righteous will stay. Does that tell us? If we're not quite there completely, we need to work for that. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. You know, we're going to need this place of protection and need it in the very near future. I don't know if it's Y2K that'll get us, or if it's earthquakes or pestilence or war or famine or the poisoning of that we're doing to ourselves by our pesticides and herbicides and additives that we put in food. Or whether it'll be an asteroid from outer space or whatever. Maybe a combination of several of these things. I don't think it's much too far in the future, that something will happen and we're going to need protection. And we're fortunate that we're here close. Many of the people will have a long path, a long, hard trek to get here. But if we're not righteous, we won't stay. What is it? There was a dream or a vision that there was a ring. I'm not sure I'm getting this all right because I'm just doing it from memory. But it was a ring, and Zion was within that ring, and the righteous could come in. But the wicked, those who are not yet ready, and not really, maybe even wicked, but they weren't ready. They had to leave. And many left willingly, but others were very sad and crying that they had to leave because they were not ready. But they were told that they could get ready and return when they were ready. If we are among those that have to leave, it will be hard. It will be very difficult because that safety, that protection is needed. The time just before us. I want to read a few things about this time just before us. In Jeremiah 50. The 50th chapter, verses 4 through 8. It says, in those days, this is the time right now, right before us. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. And they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Well, there's going to have to be somebody to ask, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people, we hope that we are His people, among His people at least. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Many of the ministry, the Christian ministry in today's world, have led the people away. They have not taught the truth. Many have served themselves. Many have done it ignorantly because they were not taught. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Zion. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we offend not because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon. In Revelation it says, come out of her, my people. Babylon is the world and its conditions and its control over us. It says, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Be led back to this resting place. Those that will seek the Lord will be removed out of Babylon. Nahum. in the second chapter, verses 1 through 6. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep thy munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. Get prepared. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. Those emptiers are the ones that have served themselves of us, who have taken for gain. Says it in verse 3, the shield of his mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet, the chariots shall be flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken, the chariots shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. Is that a description of some of our city streets? I don't know. But here in chapter 5, or verse 5, he shall recount his work. Are we stumbling in our walk? I dare say we are. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the river shall be opened, and the palaces shall be dissolved. The chariots rage, his worthy stumbling, his worthy stumble. Let's see what it says in Ether, 7:25. It says that, verse 109, it says, come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you greater things. Greater than what? Greater than the Red Sea being parted? I think so. The knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. You know, I think there's a scripture in here that tells that Jared, the brother Jared rather, was a mighty writer. And that those writings would someday come forth. I long to read and hear what he wrote. Because of unbelief at this time, we are probably not able to receive those words. And in God's wisdom, he has not given them to us yet. Come unto me, O ye house of Israel, us, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world. And it has not come unto you because of unbelief. Great things have been laid up for us, brothers and sisters. Great things. Behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief, which does cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you, yea, when you shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he hath made unto your fathers, O house of Israel. And then shall my revelations, which I caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in the eyes of all the people. Let me go on and read here, 1:14. Remember, when ye see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed. Therefore, when ye receive this record. Now, this specifically is talking right here in this verse to the American Indians, the descendant of the people on this land. Ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon the face of the land. That work started in 1830. It's that little stone that was cut out of the mountain in the second chapter of Daniel. Just a little stone. And it would roll and become a great boulder and fall upon the feet of that image and break it. That image representing, I think, the whole image, because the head was supposed to be Babylon, the influence of Babylon upon our lives. At any rate, let's go on. 1:15. Therefore, repent, all ye ends of the earth. This is telling us what we need to do. And it's not just to the American Indian. It's not just to the heathen out there. It's not just to the rest of the Christian world. It's to us too. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and believe in my gospel. And be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and the signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. For he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. Zion. We need it. To desire it. Luke, 12th chapter. Verses 2 and 3. It says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid, that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I can put that right down to a personal level for each one of us. Our sins will be forgiven. Revealed. I can put that on a larger scale. I think those things are coming out. Many of them are coming out in this nation now. The evils that are taking place in our government, in our world, they're being shouted from the housetops, from the antennas. And I think we'll find more will be revealed very shortly. Oh, maybe I should, before I quit here, I need to do one more thing. I need to establish where this is to be. Where this Zion is. And for that, I need to go to the Doctrine and Covenants. It was left out in our Book of Commandments because of the problem that was to be perceived of the people in this area hearing about this. First verse, section 57, Doctrine and Covenants. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who have assembled yourselves together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri. Who in the world could think possibly that this place could be among the most beautiful places on earth? But that's what it says here, Missouri. Which is the land which I have appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints. Wherefore, this is the land of promise and the place for the city Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom. Here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place. And the spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse. We've all been there, haven't we? We've seen that plot of ground. We know where that temple will be built. We're told that this is the center place. Should we want Zion to come? Do we really need it for protection? Maybe we're satisfied with what we got now and want to cling to that. Do we think that what the world has to offer is best for us? You know, if we really think that Zion is the answer to all of our problems, that Zion is the place of our dreams, then all that we engage in should be motivated by our desire to be a part of Zion. I want to repeat that because I think it is extremely, extremely important. All that we engage in should be motivated by our desire to be a part of Zion. I don't know about physical preparation. Maybe that's needed to get us through until that time that Zion is established. But I do know that a spiritual preparedness is absolutely necessary. Either we'll do it ourselves, or the Lord will force us. It's absolutely necessary. And I doubt if there's anyone here or anywhere else that is really spiritually ready to become a part of Zion. If they were, we might have had it already. But it's not here yet. Let us pray that we can become ready. And I have asked that we sing song 87 for our final song. And I want you to note the words as you sing it.